Romans chapter number 10 and verse number 13. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I'm going to talk to you this morning about easy believism, easy believism. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for loving us, for allowing us, Lord, to be saved. Thank you for allowing us to have breath and life this morning and allowing us to come to church. Thank you, Lord, for these dear folks. I pray that you bless them, give safety for those still coming with the weather and the time change. I just pray, Lord, that you'd bless now, dear Holy Spirit of God, meet with us. Bless thy word, we ask you. Help us to believe what's written. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. All right, I'm going to talk to you this morning about easy believism. That means it's easy to believe in Jesus Christ. It's not difficult. It's not hard. Religion makes it hard. Religion makes it difficult. Churches make it difficult. Men make it difficult on purpose. But God made it easy for somebody to be saved from hell. It's not as difficult as people make it out to be. You don't have to be a Baptist to go to heaven. You don't have to be a member of a church to go to heaven. You don't have to be baptized to go to heaven. You don't have to be good enough to go to heaven, because no one is good enough to go to heaven. The Bible is very clear that in Romans chapter number 10, verse number 13, the Bible says, "For whosoever," that means anyone, "shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Shall be, not maybe, but shall be. That means all you have to do is call out to God for salvation if you believe what God said about the gospel. Hold your place there and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to come right back to Romans 10 a little bit. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And this is how someone is saved, believing the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 1. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain." So here's the gospel in verses 3 and 4. "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's why it's called the gospel of Matthew, the gospel of Mark, the gospel of Luke, the gospel of John. Those four gospels specifically detail the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's not saying the other books are not important. Sure they are. All the books, all the words in the Bible are important, but those four books are called the gospel because those are the four books that that give description in detail, not just his life and ministry and the miracles, but the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So if you believe that you're a child of hell, that you believe that you're a sinner deserving hell, all you have to do to be saved is to believe the gospel. That's what it says. It says in verse number 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are" what? Saved. So you're saved by the gospel. Now, it does say, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Now, some people, there's other scriptures to back this up. Some people believe in vain. I don't know who trusts Christ to be their Savior. You don't know. God knows. I cannot see the heart, but God sees the heart. There's some people who fake it. There's some people who lie. Well, there's no way I can know that. There's no way you can know that. Judas fooled all the other 11 disciples, and Satan is a deceiver. He'll deceive you also. But the truth of the matter is, a person is saved because they've asked Jesus Christ to save their soul from hell. If you realize that you're a sinner on your way to hell, Revelation 21, 8, Revelation 20, verse 14 and 15, the second death is a lake of fire that all of us are going to, and the wages of sin is death, the Bible says. We're going to die and end up in a lake of fire for all eternity to pay for our sins. And the only way to be saved from hell is before you die, you ask Jesus Christ to save your soul. It's akin to somebody who's drowning in water and cannot swim. they call out to the lifeguard, help, I'm drowning, please save me. Well, the lifeguard doesn't say, well, have you been good this week? Do you promise to be good next week? Do you promise to change your ways? Do you promise that you'll be good from here on in? No, he doesn't say that. His job is to save people from drowning. A person who's drowning in water who cannot swim calls out for help from the lifeguard to save them from drowning. The same way a sinner is drowning in their sin on their way to hell, they cannot save themselves. So they call out to the life saver, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, who saves us from sin and saves us from hell, to call out for mercy, according to Titus 3:5, and say, God, please be merciful to me. Save my soul. Please forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart and save me. That's all it takes to be saved. Not getting baptized, not joining a church, not coming to church, not being good, not stopping a sin. All it takes to be saved is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all it takes, as you'll see this morning. All right, let's go back to Romans chapter number 10. Romans 10, verse number 13 again. And remembering the story example I just gave you about a person drowning, calling out to the lifeguard. Romans 10, 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It doesn't say you have to go to church to be saved. It doesn't say you have to be good to be saved. It doesn't say you have to stop sinning to be saved. It doesn't say you have to be baptized to be saved. It doesn't say you have to start tithing or give money or help people or be good enough. No, there's nowhere in the Bible that says that, ladies and gentlemen. That's a lie from religious leaders. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Look at verse number 9 and 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt what? Believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Nothing in there about going to church. Now, these are verses that tell you how to be saved. These are verses that tell you about salvation. And all it says, if you confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If you trusted Christ to be your Savior, if you can remember a time that you put your trust and your faith in Jesus, you're saved. Don't look at the way your life is messed up, maybe. You got to believe what God says instead of what Satan's trying to tell you. You got to believe what the Word of God says instead of what other people are trying to tell you. God says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not maybe. Not I hope I make it. Not boy, I'm trying. Doesn't say that. It says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's not difficult. It's easy to be saved. Look at Acts chapter number 16. Acts chapter number 16, please. The book right before Romans. Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter number 16, verse number 28. Acts chapter 16, verse 28. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul inside. This is the jailer, the keeper of the prison. He came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Now, that's the average thinking of a lost person. They have to do something. They have to change something. They have to be somebody. Well, that's a natural question from a lost man. What do I do to be saved? You know what Paul said? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he said. Look at verse 31. And they said, Paul and Silas, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. That means anybody in your house can be saved. That means anybody in this church can be saved. That means anybody in your block can be saved. Anybody in your city can be saved. Anybody in this town can be saved. Anybody in the state can be saved. Anybody in the country can be saved. Anybody in the world can be saved, because whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thy house. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. The most important thing in your life is asking Jesus Christ to save you.
Why? Because you're facing an eternity either in heaven or in hell. And too many times we make too much of too many other things instead of making things of the Lord Jesus Christ about salvation. And so when somebody tells you you have to be good enough to go to heaven, you have to be good enough to be saved, there's no Bible verse that says that. It's a religion that says that. It's a church that teaches that, but not Jesus, not the Word of God. All right, take your Bible, turn to Genesis chapter number 15, the first book in the Bible. Genesis 15. Genesis chapter 15. Verse number 1. After these things, the word of the Lord, by the way, Jesus is the word. Amen. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shalt not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. Now verse number 6. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. It took a lot more belief to believe that than it does for you to believe in Jesus Christ to save your soul from hell. I mean, here's Abram, 90 years old. He said, look at the stars, Abram. That's what your seed's going to be like. And the Bible says he believed God. And because he believed God, the word of God came to him. Because he believed the word of God, God counted it to him for righteousness. It's not difficult. It's not hard. It's easy to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's easy to believe the Bible. And the Bible says that Abraham believed God, and God counted it to him for righteousness' sake. Take your Bible, please, and turn with me to the book of Romans. We were just there. Romans chapter number 4, please. And God likens this story that we just read to salvation. Romans chapter number 4, verse number 1. Romans chapter number 4, verse number 1. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. See, works are good. Works are necessary, but not for salvation. Works are good. Works are necessary to help other people, to mature, to grow as a Christian. Has nothing, absolutely nothing to do with salvation. Baptism is a work. That's why the Church of Christ, the Catholic, the Orthodox, Methodist, Presbyterian, anybody that sprinkles babies or baptizes and said this is part of salvation, that's a heresy, that's not salvation, ladies and gentlemen. Whosoever shall call upon the name shall be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. No baptism, no church membership, no being good, just being saved. Now, you ought to get baptized after you get saved. And you ought to come to church. And you ought to read your Bible. You ought to do good. That's growth. That's maturity. That's a whole different ball game. That comes after salvation. But Reformed theology teaches that you have to reform yourself in order to be saved. That's Protestant Reformed theology. Reformed Dutch, you know, Reformed this, Reformed that. Those are people who teach that you have to change your life in order to be saved. And that's what Catholics believe. And if you're good enough, then you might make it. Then we pray for you. You know, if you get to purgatory, then your loved ones and relatives and friends have to pay enough prayers for the dead that we can lift you up from purgatory, maybe to go to heaven if you're good enough and if they pay enough prayers and penance and all that other junk and crap. But that's not in the Bible. That's a man-made religion. That's business. People making money off of ignorant people that don't know their Bibles. So he says here, verse number 2, for if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? We just read it in Genesis. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. I mean, he's 90 years old. I mean, he's pretty past the time that he can have children, you think. And God says, look up at the stars, Abram at the time. He says, that's what your seed's going to be like, Abram. And you know what God said? You know what the Bible says? That Abram believed God. Amen. You know what your problem is? You don't believe God. Amen. You believe them enough to get saved. You just don't want to believe the rest of the scriptures. That's your problem. Your biggest problem is not other people. Your biggest problem is you refusing to believe what God said. Was it last week or 2 weeks ago? I said, well, everybody wants to blame somebody else. Everybody wants to put a blame on someone else. No, the problem is you are not believing. And by the way, I know the further and further we get away from the Word of God in our generation, sometimes the more awkward it seems to other people, the more strange it seems to other people, the more far out it seems to most people who don't know the Bible. Amen. Your job is to believe what God said, regardless of what your neighbor says, regardless of what your family says. Amen. Your job is to believe the Word of God. Verse number 3, for what saith the scripture? And isn't it interesting how he says this? The scripture speaks, you know. Amen. It's the Word of God. It talks. Oh, I want to hear God's voice. Well, just read the Bible. Get yourself a King James Bible, the pure Cambridge edition, and read it. Just read it because it'll speak to you if you let it. And he says, what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh, that's religious work or any other kind of work, you think you're going to be good enough to go to heaven, you've gone enough church, you've gone to temple, you've gone to a Muslim mosque, you've gone to a Buddhist temple, you think you're doing religious work, you're going to be good, you know? Well, God says in verse 4, now to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Did you read that? Judas worked pretty good. He worked in the ministry. He was in charge of the money, the treasury. He went ministering with Jesus. He saw the miracles. He fed the thousands. He saw the miracles. He was with them everywhere he went, just about in the open public ministry. He just wasn't saved, though. So all these religious people, I don't care if they're Catholic or Baptist. It doesn't matter to me. Protestant or Orthodox, Buddhist or Hindu. It doesn't matter, Muslim or not. It doesn't matter what kind of religion you follow. All religions in the world teach you have to do something or don't do something to inherit a better life in paradise after this life is over. The only one that's different is the Lord Jesus Christ. He says there's nothing you can do. Amen. There's absolutely nothing you can possibly do to merit eternal life. Amen. You have to believe him when he says you're a sinner deserving hell on your way to hell to burn forever with no escape. Amen. And only then can you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's why it's so important for people to get saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But to him, verse 5 again, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man, unto whom, watch this, God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. And it goes on down here. The whole chapter, I mean, the whole book deals about salvation, really. So it's your faith that's counted for righteousness when you believe what Jesus said in the Word of God. Not how good you are. Or not how bad you're not. If that was the case, we'd all be lost still. If that'd be the case, no one would get to heaven, amen, because we're all a bunch of sinners. Amen. All right, take your Bible, please turn to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter number 3. Right after 2 Corinthians, Galatians 3. Starting series today on easy believism and repentance. Galatians chapter number 3. Starting at verse number 1. O foolish Galatians, who, and it's always a person that bewitches you. It's always a person that Satan uses to deceive you. A pastor, a minister, a reverend, a religious leader, a husband, a wife, a child, a parent, a neighbor, Sunday school teacher, junior church leader. I'm just saying, Satan uses people to deceive other people. Who hath bewitched you? Sometimes it's an in-law, daughter-in-law, son-in-law, father-in-law, mother-in-law. Amen. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Sometimes a politician. Huh? Most times it's a religious leader. Most times. Who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you. This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? That's how you got you received the Holy Spirit of God when you got saved. That's when you got saved, you received the Lord Jesus Christ. You also received the Holy Spirit of God when you got saved. If you're a child of God, he's inside you right now. Amen. Now, that doesn't mean he's working effectually in you because maybe you're not letting him. Maybe you're not willing. Maybe you're not surrendered. And thus, you're not going to be blessed of God. But that's not salvation. Salvation teaches that once you trust Christ to be your Savior, the Spirit of God comes in you by faith, not by works. Verse 3. How many times have you been to a Catholic funeral where they say, the servant of so-and-so is now into the kingdom of heaven because of his baptism? Show me where that's in the Bible. Amen. But that's what people believe. Oh, I got to be baptized. Verse number 3. That's how the Orthodox sing it. They sing when they chant when they, if you ever go to a funeral, that's how they do it. They chant. They chant somebody into heaven because they've been baptized or sprinkled, you know. Verse 3. Are you so foolish? Watch this. Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Notice, it's either works or faith that you believe in. You're either following works or faith. Watch this now. Here it is again. Verse 6. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Well, I got saved by faith. I'm a child of Abraham. If you got saved by faith, you're a child of Abraham. Well, now look at the next verse. And the scripture foreseeing, that's interesting because first of all, we read in Romans that the scripture saith, it speaks. Now the scripture can foresee. Well, you know what you need? You need a word of God. You need a Bible that can speak to you and can see things that you can't see. So that when you read the Bible, God speaks to you. These charismaniacs and Pentecostals who believe that God speaks to them, man, that's blasphemy, man. They're adding to Scripture. They're saying they're getting an extra vision from God outside Scripture. That is blasphemy, ladies and gentlemen. That's heresy. All they got to do is read the Word of God. If you got a King James Bible, you can read it. And God speaks to you. Not only that, by reading the Bible, it can foresee things in the future that you can't see. So here's what it says. The Scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Greeks.
Amen.
The heathen. Through faith. Not church, not baptism, not candles and statues and rosaries. He would justify the heathen through faith, preach before the what? The gospel. I thought the gospel was the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ that we read this morning in 1 Corinthians 15.
Amen.
Well, guess what? My Bible is very clear that God preached to Abraham the gospel, and the only place the gospel is ever detailed and explained in the Bible is 1 Corinthians 15. So don't tell me God didn't tell Adam about the gospel. Don't tell me that God didn't tell Abraham about the gospel. And don't tell me that God didn't tell the prophets and the Old Testament writers about the gospel. They may not have understood it all. But I got news for you. Abraham believed the gospel. That's what it says. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Amen. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the what? You're not saved, you're cursed. Amen. If you're not saved, you're cursed. And if you're not obeying everything in the Bible that you know to obey, you're still cursed, even though you're saved. For it is written, cursed. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. I want to be blessed of God, not cursed. Amen. You got to read Deuteronomy, man. You'll be blessed if you obey God. You'll be cursed if you disobey God. Amen. Now, when it comes to salvation, eternity, I'm blessed. I'm not cursed when it comes to salvation. Look at verse number 12. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Refer back to my three sermons on being cursed, amen. Take your Bible, please, and turn with me to James, chapter number 2. James, chapter number 2. Right after the book of Hebrews, James, chapter number 2. Verse number 20. Well, let's go to verse number 20. Yeah, verse 20. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works? Okay. He was. When he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar, that's the work that he did. He brought fruit, meat for repentance. He believed God, and he brought the fruit afterwards to show that he believed. You should live a godly life after you get saved. You should live for God after you get saved. But I remind you, the thief on the cross never went to church. The thief on the cross never got baptized. The thief on the cross never went soul winning. The thief on the cross never did anything except ask Jesus Christ to save his soul. And Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Now, if God lets you live, then you are commanded to bring forth, we're going to get to that in the next couple of weeks, but God commands you to bring forth fruit that equals, that meets, that is meat for the repentance that you believed. Amen. And that's what Abraham did. Verse number 21, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works? And by works was faith made perfect. Well, that shows your faith. The fact that you show up this morning shows a little bit about your faith. The fact that you separate yourself from the world shows a little bit of your faith. The fact that you pray on your knees shows your faith. The fact that you read your Bible shows your faith. The fact that you got baptized after you got saved shows your faith. So all these things and other things show your faith, and your faith matures. It becomes perfect. That's the word mature in the Bible. The word perfect means mature or grown up or finished. Amen. Verse 23. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, watch this. Here it is again, fourth time now. Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. Amen. So he believed God. Four times we've gone over this now, that Abraham believed God, and God imputed righteousness to him by faith. Not because he was good, not because he was a friend of God. He showed later on that he was a friend of God by his life. But not, he just believed God. I believe you, God. Hey, why don't you believe God this morning? Why don't you believe what God said about salvation? Why don't you believe God about life? Do you know, no one's going to love you like Jesus loves you. No one. There's not a person you'll ever meet on planet Earth that will love you like Jesus loves you. He loves you. John chapter number 3, please. John chapter number 3. Say, Pastor, how about this verse? We'll get to it in the next 4 or 6 weeks. Don't worry. Amen. John chapter number 3. I promise you we're going to cover these verses. All through the Bible, God says you need to believe, believe, believe. So what they do now is they change the word, the meaning of believe, or the meaning of repent to fit a work salvation. Those are a bunch of heretics and liars that do that. The Gospel of John, chapter number 3. And starting in verse number, let's see here. Verse 14. Jesus speaking. And he says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. If you remember, in the Old Testament, in Numbers, if you know the story, they were bitten by the serpents. And God told Moses to get a serpent, put it on a pole and lift it up to the people, a bronze serpent. That's where you get, you know, your that medical symbol, emblem with the staff and a serpent on it. Sometimes that has a cross on it. But if you ever look on EMT or emergency departments, a lot of times they'll have the emblem that has a staff, a rod, a stick, a pole, and a serpent wrapped around it. Now, they may be, you know, outdating it now, but that's how what most of emergency services used to have. Emblems on patches, emblems on coats, emblems on everything. You know why? Because it comes from the Bible. They were bit by the serpent and they were dying. So you know what Moses did? He put that serpent on the pole and he lifted it up. And the Bible says all you had to do to be cured of the serpent's bite was to look at it, and you'd be healed. Not going to the high priest, not offering a sacrifice, not bringing a lamb or a sheep or a goat or a bull or an ox. All you had to do to be cured of the serpent's bite was to look at it. That's where you get the saying. He said, look and live. All you got to do to be saved is look to Jesus. Not come to the church building. Not put any money in the offering basket. All you have to do to be saved from hell is to look to Jesus, and you'll be cured of the serpent's bite of sin and the curse of hell on you. That's all you got to do. Jesus recounting the story. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Watch this, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. All you got to do is believe. There's nowhere in that verse again that says about going to church, about being baptized, about being good, about stopping the sin. It's just all you have to do is look and live. All you have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. How simple can it get? You can't get it much more simple than that. But you know what? When religious leaders change the definition of repent and change the definition of believe, you know why? Because they want to control people and keep people coming to the church to give money to teach a false gospel, a work salvation. Because it's easy for me to say, how many times you've heard this being said, or I've heard this say, you're not really saved. Well, where's that in the Bible, please? Show me one place in the Bible where it says you're not really saved because you don't come to church or you're not living right. That's why you need old-fashioned hellfire and damnation preaching. That's why you need Baptist separatist preaching to get you right with God, to convict you of your sin. But there's nowhere in the Bible that says because you miss church, you're not saved. And that's the Achilles heel of our kind of churches, to be honest with you. Because people know that. They say, well, I'm not going to go to church because I got mad at the pastor. I got angry. He shouldn't have said that about black people. He shouldn't have said that about Jews. He shouldn't have said that about, oh, I don't mind if he says about Greeks, but he shouldn't have said this about women. So they get angry. People get angry at anything I preach about. And you know what the Achilles heel is? They know, for enough scripture, they don't have to come back to church because they're still a child of God, but they're disobedient, they're rebellious, and God's cursing them. Look, I'm not saying this is the only church you can go to. Go find another independent fundamental Baptist church where they preach the King James Bible, amen? If you don't like this church, you don't like me, I don't mind. I guess I wouldn't mind, but it's a free country. You can go anywhere you want. But these rascals who lie to you, most of them don't go to church anywhere. You know what that shows? They don't really love God. They just want to talk. So, oh, he hurt me. He shouldn't have said that. He offended me. Well, that doesn't mean they're not saved. That just means they're immature. They have no character. And they're not being faithful to God. They don't love God. That's what it means. But separate that, keep that separate from salvation. Look at verse number 16. One of the most famous verses in the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever cometh to church should not perish but have everlasting life. No? It doesn't say that?
Wow.
That whosoever gets baptized or whosoever observes the Sabbath or whosoever what? Fill it in. It said whosoever believeth in him. It's simple. It's easy. So you know why? Because God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That God wants a 4, 5, 6-year-old boy or girl to get saved. God wants somebody who's retarded to get saved. God wants somebody who has a weak mind to get saved. God wants somebody to get saved who's losing their mind or out of their mind. Amen. God wants everybody to be saved. Verse 17. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. These are salvation verses. He that cometh to church is not condemned. Is that what it says? How in the world can pastors, religious leaders, pervert the word of God for their own use? The love of money is root of all evil, man. They want to threaten people. You're not really saved. If you're not coming to church, you're not really saved if you're not. You know how many times I've heard this? I'm talking from Baptists now. If you're not tithing, you're not really saved. Where's that in the Bible? But they threaten people. You know how many times I've heard Sunday school teachers getting saved and piano players getting saved and deacons getting saved and assistant pastors getting saved and other. You know why? Because they're teaching a repentance work salvation that says if you're not living right, you have some bad thoughts, you're not really saved. Because if you were saved, you wouldn't have those thoughts. That's because you haven't read the rest of the Bible, ladies and gentlemen. You don't realize how wicked and sinful and vile the flesh is and how wicked the imagination of man is. But people, it's easy. And so they threaten people. So, and people sit there and say, well, that's the pastor. So, man, maybe I'm not really saved. Maybe I need to go to church just to make sure I'm saved. Blessed be God, I can walk out of here today, never dock into a church door, but you'll see me in heaven if you're saved, amen. Blessed be God, you can get mad at me, never come back again, but if you're saved, you'll see me in heaven, amen. If you're saved. Salvation has nothing to do with character. Salvation has nothing to do with maturity. Absolutely nothing. Salvation depends on the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the only thing that can wash away your sins by you believing on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. It is simple. It is easy. It is not hard to understand. Verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Look at verse number 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Right now. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. The only difference between heaven and hell is people who believe and people who believe not. That's what it says. He that believeth on the Son hath, present tense, everlasting life. And he that believeth not, present tense, the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him, present tense. Salvation is easy. It's easy. You have to believe by faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to trust him for your salvation. It's not complicated. It is not difficult. It is not hard. Religion makes it hard. Churches make it hard. Fake, phony, fraud, religious leaders that do not use a King James Bible twist the word of God, pervert the word of God, and they make it hard because the love of money is the root of all evil. Let's all stand. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for the word of God this morning, the adult Bible study. Bless, I pray, the morning service to follow. Give safety for those still coming. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. All right, we'll take about 10 minutes and come right back.